right. Welcome back to another edition of Bat Signal Podcast Live. Yes, your eyes are not deceiving you. That is Willie G. Blazer. Willie bets a lot. Willie StreamYards. He is producing the show today. Has John lost his job yet? I don't think so.
Splitting time.
Okay, yeah, splitting time.
I think he has a real job too, so he has to like be at that. So I'm here.
Okay.
I'm happy to be here though, and I'm happy to have met Steve. Great guy.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Will. Okay. I appreciate it. By the way, that real job thing is just an excuse. John might have lost his job here, so just saying.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
We take these things very seriously, Steve. But I'm so happy that we've bridged the rainbow gap. This is old bat signal into new. And we are sponsored by Better Edge, and we've got a lot of content coming for you on this show. We also have a special guest sponsor. If you are in the Miami, Fort Lauderdale area, Broward County, Dade County, yes, we are holding a watch party for the NCAA men's final tonight. Yes, it's at City Cigar Bar, 41 Northwest 2nd Street, not Avenue, like I said that before. It's on the ticker right there on the bottom. I will be there with some Better Edge swag, some gifts, some prizes. We got some hats, t-shirts, and all that fun stuff to give away. Myself, Jason Jackson, the play-by-play voice in the Miami Heat, he will make an appearance. So if you want to come down, you want to shoot the shit, we got 2-for-1 deals on happy hour drinks, cigar specials, all of that fun stuff. So come down to City Cigar Bar. Just Google it. Send a reply in this in the show, and we will get you set up for a place to watch tonight's championship game. And now we begin the show. First, we got to talk about Coach K and all of his egotistical, egomaniac issues that he has had throughout the years. This swan song, goodbye party. My first takeaway is, there is no way in hell this guy is walking away after two devastating losses, scoreboard forever, at the hands of his arch rival, UNC, the Tar Heels, going down in that Final Four game, a game that had all of the hype in the world. Duke just fell on their face late in the game, missing free throws. I think they were 60% from the line. It was horrendous. It was a black stain on Coach K's name. And it also mysteriously, was missing, a sportsmanship handshake at the end, which just confirms a lot of the things that people have said about Coach Mike Krzyzewski around the years. And his excuse, Steve, well, UNC didn't give me a tribute the last time that I played in their stadium. So
how like narcissistic and egotistical is that?
He goes beyond. Do you know there was an over under for how many times they showed his wife on the broadcast?
Oh my God. I didn't know that. I would have bet the over, but
over under 4 to see his wife, man, that's such a handhold. Like for every Duke fan, they should have the handshake of Coach K and his wife.
They cut to her like down 4 with like a minute 30 left. I remember they cut to her on the sideline. Coach K's wife is coming down the tunnel. She looks pretty calm. I'm like, who cares about Coach K's wife? I'm like, I need UNC to cover the 4 here. Like, what's going on? I get Coach K's wife off the screen. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I think the biggest thing for me as I was getting ready this morning and I was having some of these thoughts about Coach K and his legacy, and I totally think he's just going to pull a Brady. After Tom Brady, I think he's just totally set the precedence for saying, like, whoopsie, not retiring anymore. Fastest time that any legend of any sport. We knew that Michael Jordan retired. I think it took a year and a half off between that and coming back and going to the Wizards or going to play baseball for the White Sox, all that jazz. Brady was the fastest ones to say, bleep these kids and I'm coming back. I'm not dealing with my family. Forget it. But at the same time, in the world of sports, Charles Barkley never got a ring. Dan Marino never got a ring. There are many players in the history of sports that walk away with no championships. They don't have a perfect story. You're not always allowed to be set off into the sunset. There's not every story that has a happy ending. So it's really up to Coach K to sit there and say, I'm going to take the L and walk away. And that's my career. But I, to me, it's just whether or not he accepts that or not, because much like a lot of the, you know, I mean, there's been players that have had devastating injuries that end their careers. So it just goes either way.
But like, he's still going to be around, right? He's still going to have his office. Yeah. He's going to be hanging around. I think John Shire's the one who's supposed to take over. So like, now let's think about this. Let's think about this for a second. You're John Shire. You have Coach K still lingering around campus. And now imagine UNC wins tonight, right? So now Hubert Davis, who succeeded Roy Williams, won a national championship in his first year at UNC. Now, not only do I have Coach K over my shoulder the entire time, now I have to recruit against Hubert Davis 8 miles down the road. He won the Natty in his first year.
You know,
there's nothing to win. There's a no-win situation.
You know what I say? It sucks to suck.
Yeah, I mean,
You know what? Duke sucks.
I say that
from the bottom of my cold Maryland Terrapin heart. That's too bad. Wow. America won on Sunday night. Let's be honest.
America won.
It was a moral victory for America that we watched Coach K go down in flames. And I just, here's the thing. And how I look in the future for the Duke Blue Devils program, they have 6 recruits, I think, in the top 30 coming into their school next year. Like 6 of the top 30. Recruiting is strong, but for how long? How long is that program going to be in the upper echelons of college basketball?
I can jump in and tell you how long.
Okay.
Oh, let's go.
Probably pretty long. Just listening to the post-game press conference, if you listen to the kids talk and not Coach K, even though all the questions were to Coach K, they grew up watching Duke basketball. I think as long as the generation coming up grew up watching Duke basketball, there's going to be a place for those kids. And the high level talent still going to want to go to Duke because of how much they've been exposed to it their whole lives.
Didn't LeBron just say that he would rather go to Duke or UNC if he went to college and if it wasn't Ohio State?
I'm pretty sure he wanted to go to Ohio State, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I think there was just he said in another world, I would have gone to UNC or Duke.
For sure. I'm sure after Coach K coached him, he saw that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no denying he's a great coach, but he's such an asshole that you can't really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like an Urban Meyer effect.
Yeah.
Except he's not fingering buttholes.
All right, Steve, what do you got?
I said Coach K is very hard to like, right? Like, yeah. he's tough to like as it is. And then now you add the farewell tour into this. And you know what my favorite part about the whole thing is? That the whole tournament has been about Coach K, right? Everything's been about Coach K. Everything's about Coach K. And yet tonight is going to be all about Roy Williams, because the guy who succeeded him at Kansas, Bill Self, and the guy who succeeded him at UNC are playing against each other in the national championship. So that's my favorite part about tonight, is that the whole tournament was about Coach K, and tonight it's about Roy Williams. So
I just want to show on the screen that gif of Roy Williams walking into the locker room like this and doing the dance.
Yes.
That's actually been a highlight of the tournament for me, is watching him in the crowd just like so happy, man. He just has a pure euphoric moment. And, you know, Hubert Davis also played for UNC, correct?
Yes.
I'm not mistaken. Listen, that's what it's all about. It's about the alumni coming in. I think that's what it means more than anything in this situation. Let's get to the game tonight. Steve, you've got a lot of thoughts. I'm going to let you take the lead tonight. You got to lay out the lines, the points. I think that the over-under, first of all, I got a gripe. I know we're going to do the game, and then we're going to look back on some of the Final Four matchups and the wins and the losses. I had it locked. That first game, I went 7-0 on the competitions on Better Edge. I had Kansas on the money line, the points and the under. I did the over, but I was guaranteed, like, with 5 minutes to go or 4 minutes to go in this game, it was 67-67. They just blew through that total. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to have to take the L on this. But it was, I'm just kind of pissed that I still lost that. I was happy for all of the last second threes, the ridiculous shots, the heroics, But I got a gripe about that Duke UNC over.
Yeah, I mean, it came in late. Also, when that game first started, first five or so minutes, they were at like the 14.5 mark. And
oh, yeah.
It was low scoring. I actually texted one of my group chats and I said, whoever took the over is not feeling good right now. And that changed. But they also both, you knew things were going to change in the second half because both teams were terrible from three in the first half. I think yeah. UNC was like 2 of 12. Duke was like 2 of 13 or something like that. But you knew that was going to change, but I didn't think it was going to change that much. Once, like, you're right, 67 up, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're toast.
Duke only made 60% of their free throws as well.
Yeah, yes. That was the biggest thing. That was the I think that lost the game. Yeah, that's what lost them the game. They were 2 of 20.
Yeah, and if Marcus Williams isn't in foul trouble, they probably win that game. I know he missed 2 huge free throws, but if he's not in foul trouble, they probably win that game. UNC does not play deep. They play their starters until the cows come home, which we will get into when we're talking about tonight's game. But if he's not in foul trouble, I think Duke wins.
Yeah. All right.
So we go. We want to talk about tonight. We want to talk.
All
right.
Step aside. Let Steve take the floor.
All right. Tonight, I've been going back
Steve,
and forth.
Lay it out. We're going to clip this. We're going to clip this up. And then we're going to say, what's the play?
Exactly. See, you know the deal. So first, yes. Kansas favored by 4. Yep. UNC money line is +158. That's not bad. Kansas money line.
I already put 100 on that.
There you go. Kansas money line is -192. That's a little too juiced up for me. You got to buy that up a lot. Over under 153.5. That's a little too high. I like the under because I feel like with these games, the teams come out a little bit nervous a lot of the time. There's a lot of mishaps. Also, what people don't really talk about, which I saw this with Carolina. We didn't really see it with Kansas. Kansas was lights out in the first game. They're playing in a football stadium. So like depth perception changes a little bit.
It's new and they're not hitting the boards. And I heard that theory as to why the under hit on every single game.
Brady Manick looked like he had some issues in that one, especially early on.
Yes.
Like he was missing everything. Let's go into some things I like about tonight and some things I don't like about tonight. Couple of things that I like is I was going back and forth. I texted you yesterday and I said, I'm going to hammer Kansas.
Yep.
And then I thought about it a little bit. I looked at the stats. They shot 53.7% from the floor, 54% from three against Villanova. Are they going to do that again? That's probably their best shooting game of the season. So I'm not loving that. On the other side, Armando Becton, who is basically the linchpin of North Carolina, he's hobbled. Ankle injury. If he is
he also said that he'd have to have his leg chopped off for him not to play. I didn't think that play and him spraining his ankle was as severe as a lot of people. I mean, it obviously hurt. It might be a type 2 sprain, but I don't think it was incredibly gruesome.
He's gonna play. Now the thing is it gonna be? Is he going to be at 100%?
Like, is he going to be effective? Because he's a monster under the hoop and on the boards.
Here are the stats on their plus minus. With him on the floor, they're +330. Without him on the floor, they're -80. So if he is hobbled, they have no chance. Like McCormick is going to eat inside if he's hobbled, right? And also, let's take this into account. UNC does not really play their bench at all.
No.
They use their starters a majority of the time. Even it is noticeable when the bench is in the game. I don't know why. I mean, Puff Johnson's got the best name in March Madness, by the way.
Leaky Black is definitely my favorite name.
Leaky Black also.
Leaky Black sounds straight out of Harry Potter. And I was like oh.
Wow, that does. That's
it. Great. Sounds. I was like, Leaky Black. Yes.
That's amazing. It's amazing. But so here's my thing with this now. I've been going back and forth. Like I said, I would, if you think Kansas is going to win the game, the money line's -192. And I think the -4 is only -115. So if you think they're going to win the game, why don't you bet most outstanding player? Because Abaji is probably the guy that's going to lead them, right? He's +135. The MOP probably isn't coming from the losing team. It just the guy, like Caleb Love, if they lost, for him to get MOP, they would have to, he'd probably have to score 50, right? So that's not going to happen. So you might have a better chance of betting him, or like we talked about, like we were just talking about, McCormick. He's plus 1,100. He just had the best game of his career the other night. Like, he had the best game of the season. If he puts up back-to-back performances like that, Kansas wins, a nice day. So I like, also I like Kansas team total under 78.5. That's a minus 115. I like MOP for Abaji and McCormick. I think Kansas is going to win the game. I just think it's going to be close. I would probably lean, I haven't made it official yet, probably lean UNC with the points. I just don't know if they have, I don't know if they have enough to win the game. It's tough to come, we talked about this, it's tough to come back from, that's an emotional, that game was back and forth the whole way. It's emotional. Like, Kansas coasted. They were ready to go for the national championship game as soon as that game ended. It's tough to come back from that. But also, it scares me. You said you need to see more from Caleb Love in the first half because he was non-existent. But if he puts together two halves like he had in the second half the other night, got a shot. So
he's got to put together the game of his life. And to be honest, I mean, it's back-to-back games where Caleb Love has just been an absolute dud in the first half. And then he becomes a different person. I don't think that has anything to do with adjustments. Maybe it's nerves. I don't know. He's got to play the game of his life. He's got a lot on his on the line for the future. I mean, there's some surefire, amazing NBA futures in the draft that will be taken in June. Outside of that, Obagi, you could talk about Paolo Ranchero. He's been fantastic. The biggest question that I have, and I'm leaning towards UNC with the points, and I agree with you, is because, just as you said, for the last three halves of basketball, Kansas has looked unstoppable. Like, they are the best team in the tournament. Is this the Gonzaga effect? Do you remember Gonzaga tried to become the first team to go undefeated last year, and then they fell on their face? They got blown out by Baylor. They didn't have anything left in the tank. So I think this could be a situation where UNC is facing history. Everything that you said about Roy Williams and Hubert Davis stepping in, they could be the first eighth seed since 1985 to win the national championship. Before that Baylor game earlier in the tournament, they were 96-1 to win it all. 96-1. There were a couple people in the Vegas spheres that took those tickets, even at 69, 68. I think it got down to
32-1.
I think it got down to 32. Yeah, correct. Because they were just basically on their last leg. They have been playing unstoppable. So, yeah, Kansas is phenomenal. They have the better bench. I do worry about Baycott. You also remember they lost one of their guards to a torn ACL not too long ago as well. So his name is slipping my mind, but he's, not torn ACL, Achilles. So, they're down bodies. But, if I was McCormick, I would be working Baycott. Like, I would be having him, get physical, move around, test that ankle. These are, I don't know if they're going to be shooting up cortisone shots in the locker room there.
You got to figure Bill Self's going to do that, right? You're going to probably go at him early.
We're going to go right at him. I would consider this to be physical, right up against the boards. As though everyone's, they can pick their shots early on. I would say go straight to the hoop. Just to test that kid.
And also remember, in both Duke games, even especially the Final Four, UNC got mutilated inside in the first half.
Yes.
And they were talking to Hubert Davis in the middle of the first half, and he was like, this is not sustainable. We can't let this happen. That's how Kansas plays. Kansas goes in to out. So they're going to start inside. If they're just dominating down low, also they have that kid Lightfoot too, underneath too, who could come in and do some damage. Kansas inside is going to be a problem, especially if Baycott is not 100%, which I don't think he is, but he's going to go. Like, he's going to play. Yeah. But the two things that could be very worrisome is foul trouble for him. If he gets in foul trouble and if he's hobbled, they're going to go right at him, and there's nothing they're going to be able to do to stop him, to stop them if he's hobbled. Like, that's where my worry is. That's why, like, I'm leaning UNC points, but like early on, you might be better off waiting to see how he's to how Baycott is playing early on and putting a live bet in, because if he's not 100%, no shot.
Yeah, I might consider the live bet. I did put in just because I liked that number, plus 155 on the money line.
It's a nice sprinkle.
It's a nice sprinkle. And plus, if you get the number on Better Edge, it's no vig, no fee. Payout was is 256.
That's for $100. Yeah, that's solid.
I was thinking about what if I wanted to hedge, but I don't know. I think if I would hedge, I would hedge with Carolina on the points. I'm not flipping over to Kansas. I completely agree with you, Steve. I think mathematically the best value right now, if you're going to be betting last minute, it's 1 o'clock now, the game starts at 9. You're going to be looking at that money line. That money line number is just way too high. For the average bettor, and it's very smart. Most outstanding player, to look at those odds versus, just Kansas to win outright.
Also, can we talk about this has nothing to do with gambling, but can we talk about the start time? Like, can we go a little earlier? Perhaps.
Listen, you know what I'm preparing myself for is these NBA finals games that start at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Just like,
the basketball games already, when I'm working the Heat games, it's 7:30 is the perfect time. If it's an 8 o'clock start, that shit crawls. It crawls. Everyone feels it, from the concession staff to the meal, the lunch lady in the media dining room. We are all feeling it. And when those games just keep going later and later and later, this isn't like the Super Bowl, you know? I mean, like, they got to get everyone to stay up way past their bedtime. So let's hope when I'm at City Cigar Bar.
To be fair, it will be 8 o'clock in New Orleans, and Gonzaga, the top seed overall, is a West Coast team. I think this time was already predetermined. So I'll give them some slack.
I think Gonzaga is done.
No, I know they're done.
I just think, like, as a program, I think it's over for them. You know, it's they can't finish the job. They've had too many opportunities. I'm not really so sure that they're the future.
They just had two of their best teams in the history of their program, and they couldn't get it done.
Yeah, they couldn't get exactly. That's
like, where do you go from here? Why don't you move to a better conference, and then maybe we could talk.
Are they in the Big 12?
No, they're in the West Coast Conference.
Oh, Pac-12. They're in the Pac.
They're at WCC. They should go to the Pac.
They should move to the Pac-12. I'm sorry, I didn't even realize that.
They should relegate Oregon State because they stink, and then they should imagine if they relegated teams in college sports. That would just be. That would be phenomenal, but it would never happen. We like to give everybody a trophy here.
So. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to give you a participation trophy right now. Here is your pedestal. I need you to brag about the weekend that was your wins and your losses. Give me the top five.
Top five. Well, my first. Well, I'll give you my one loss. I only lost one this weekend.
Oh, okay.
And you're
so glad that you didn't bet the women's final.
I did not bet the women's final. Willie
G is going to come back for this.
I did not bet the women's
final.
Steve goes first. I took an L on Friday with the Kraken. That was very ill-advised.
And that's the only bet that I took. Why are you betting yours?
That's your first. Even though the Kraken won last night, actually fucked up a parlay for me.
Not even kidding. That was the only. Steve.
That was an L.
Drops Parlay Friday. He says, Kraken plus 145 is the lock of the century. That is the only bet that I took from you. And then I wake up and he's like, oh man, yeah, I killed it today and this. And I was like,
what? Sorry. I'm sorry. Listen, the NHL is weird because, like, there are teams that are like plus 360 on the money line that end up winning a lot of nights.
Yeah, they do.
And I was looking at, like, the Vegas had just won three in a row. They had just smacked the Kraken like two nights before. I was like, this is a spot where the Kraken stink. Like, why are they plus 146? It moved from like 158 to like 145 or whatever. And I was like, this is Kraken line.
The late money in the NHL is generally dumb money. Yeah. So if you see a line move one way, bet the other way.
So dumb money. Yeah. Dumb money. This guy takes that. That's an L. But then hard bounce back, right? So UConn women against Stanford. They beat Stanford on the money line. That was plus 112. Kansas money line, obviously. I talked about that on my show or my segment. Then I got UNC plus four. And then yesterday, I got to look again here because just to double check and just make sure. Yesterday, I hit a nice little parlay. Panthers -1.5. Islanders money line. And then over on the Oilers, and I think they played, I don't know who they played yesterday. They played the Ducks yesterday. But the Oilers have been going over. The Oilers have went over, I think, like 9 out of 10 or maybe even 10 in a row, like with the total. They're just scoring.
They don't play defense.
They are just scoring tons of goals, and they're giving up goals with it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So, yeah, I had a nice weekend. That's where we're at. So,
well, I have to tell you, the Florida Panthers are one of the – actually, they did it twice this season. The only team in NHL history to be down 4 goals starting the third period, come back and win. They are the only team, and they've done it twice this season. So when you talked about taking Florida Panthers puck line -1.5, I think that was the only plus odds in that parlay that you showed me that you just cashed.
Yes.
From yesterday.
Yes.
Florida Panthers are they're one of the best teams in the NHL, and it's ironic because the two best hockey teams are from South Florida, from Florida.
I have an argument to that. I think the Minnesota Wild would probably have something to say about that. 9-1 in their last 10. Calgary probably has something to say about that. Colorado, the Cup favorite, probably has something to say about that. But yeah, those two teams in Florida are pretty good.
And what
that's going to be a hell of a playoff series, though. If they meet again,
no, for sure. Well, I mean, you know that the Better Edge people, the Better Edge community, they are a huge Minnesota Wild fans. So.
Oh, I love it! I have like a +1600 future on Minnesota before they picked up Fleury.
Billy G, their general manager. I think he's like he's got like middle fingers in the air, and he doesn't care about anything. He's like, I want this team to win, and I want them to win now.
He's a stud, former Utica Devil, by the way. And he bought former Boston Bruin too. He was a great player, and he just has brought the same attitude. He was a great locker room guy. That franchise is going to be good for a long time. And that Russian kid, Kirill Kaprizov, that they have. Stud unit. You want to hear my big ones?
I do, actually.
Yeah. Right, no. Will sent me like 85. Will loves to like, you know, they say like red flag, 3 texts. We'll do the 12 text. So when he does the 12,
we have that kind of relationship.
When he does the 12 text, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know.
They're all winners. A 4-leg parlay over 5.5 Minnesota and Washington, over 5.5 in New York, New Jersey, over 6.5 Detroit and Ottawa, over 6.5 Edmonton and Anaheim. What else we got here? Minnesota money line +110. That's not that.
Did you these bets for now or these were ones?
No, these were these. This is what he won this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going
through. Salary.
A draw, 60-minute live betting, or no? So, yes, this was 60-minute live +310 in Florida and Jersey. That was Saturday. Minnesota +140.
He bets Saturday. A lot. 1-800 gambler.
And no, I hit a 9-leg parlay.
You put in 9. Wow, 9-leg. I got to get you on Parlay Friday. We got to get
God.
Well, I hit 7 of 8 there in a round robin. Okay, where's this 9?
Do you put in like 14-leg parlays and just see how many you could get?
No, I'll do round robins that high. I'll consistently hit like 3-5-leg parlays. Not for great odds, but I balance it out with the units. Okay, where is this?
This is great radio.
This is fantastic.
All right, but Will came on the last time that he showed up on the show that John invited him into the live show. He had 43 bets for the Super Bowl.
Oh my God.
I did very poorly.
You did poorly.
College football is my jam, not NFL.
He roots for Ohio State, so
sounds like NHL is your jam too.
Well, NHL is my jam. I bet the NHL every night. And I do pretty well.
All right.
I hit Anaheim. I found some other big ones. Anaheim Ducks -3.5. That was on Friday.
You hit the puck line minus 3.5?
Yeah, it was live.
Yeah.
Before the game, that had to be like plus 600.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Live, it was still plus odds. It was like it was plus 140 or something like that.
Damn.
Wow.
Big live guy.
There you go.
Big live betting guy. Just don't double charge his account.
Oh my God.
It's fine. Let's talk about the NHL. Sorry, not the NHL. Let's talk about the NFL week that was. The last time that we popped on this show, we had a huge show about, I'm like very distracted. There's like very loud noise going on outside my apartment and I'm trying to figure out what it is, but I'm just going to continue and the show goes on. So
there we go.
NFL free agency is just absolutely ridiculous. It's drunk. It's out of its mind. And since we last did a full 1 hour show on NFL free agency, there is more breaking news. Tyreek Hill demanding a trade out of Kansas City, further dumping the odds for the Kansas City Chiefs to finish dead last in that AFC West division. Much like I've said, this is going to be the first time in Patrick Mahomes' career that he's going to be playing without Tyreek Hill. Sure, they've got some burners. Sure, they've got a lot of first-round talent. There's a lot of wide receiver talent as opposite to the lesser amount of quarterbacks in the division. And whether or not Tua Tagovailoa will remain the starter for the Miami Dolphins, the Dolphins, yes, get the blockbuster end of the deal with Tyreek Hill choosing between the Jets and the Dolphins. I love that press
conference. No, he wasn't.
He was like, there was no fucking way I was going to the Jets.
No, there's no way.
There was no way. Florida has always been home. His agent is Drew Rosenhaus. Very nice guy, by the way. Lives in Miami with his wife and his family. So that was a huge factor into this. And, signed a mega deal with the Dolphins. It's just perfect timing for the New England Patriots to let J.C. Jackson go to the Chargers. And all of a sudden, the two fastest wide receivers in the NFL are going to be flanked on the other side of your defense week one of the fucking season. Excuse me. The Patriots are a certified below top 10 team in the AFC. This has not been more clear to me than now. It also dawned on me while I was home that if Mac Jones somehow seems to take a regression in his second season as an NFL quarterback, and Zach Wilson, who certainly, I'm just giving credit. I love Robert Saleh. I love what he's done with the Jets. Zach Wilson looked pretty good towards the end of that season. So, if you are talking about Mac Jones regressing and even getting slightly better, with Zach Wilson getting slightly better than Mac Jones, we're going to have big problems because the rich got richer and that defense is a huge, huge problem. And I know that they traded for Devontae Parker, who is not a surefire first number one. I would love to see Jarvis Landry come to the Patriots, whether or not Bill could stand that in his locker room. But yeah, New England's not really doing much to move the needle here in my heart or on paper.
No, also the thing with Devontae Parker, in my opinion, has been he can't stay healthy either. Like he's never healthy. So you brought in a guy that's probably going to play 8 games if you're lucky. I don't know. Like, do they just not value the wide receiver position or weapons or what is it?
You know what though? Here's the thing. So they were talking about Bill Belichick back in the day when Brady was here. He used to set up his plays upside down for Brady on the board so that like Brady would have a better idea of what the defensive view of things was. And so Brady said that it really made him a better quarterback because he could understand defenses from Bill's point of view. There is no offensive guru with the New England Patriots, given everything that Josh McDaniels has had and now has in Las Vegas with the Raiders and Dave Ziegler. And he's basically pulling every old Patriots player off the street. Damn. Like Chandler Jones, he's beefing up the defense on players that he knows doing well. The Patriots just don't have an eye for offensive talent, and they've also just fit into the system. I mean, think about it. 20 years of Tom Brady, you need a burner. There's not going to be another burner in the NFL like Randy Moss was. So the connection between Brady and Randy Moss was one of a kind, certainly. And their offense relies on these quick outs and, the value of the slot receiver. And I'm pretty sure that who was the slot receiver that the Bills just picked up?
How do I not know?
I'm blanking here.
I'm blanking too, but there was.
I was just more upset that they got rid of Beasley. But no, what I was gonna say, jumping in, I'm interested to see if Belichick's willing to take a receiver in the first round, because the top end talent in this year's draft is so good. Getting a guy like Olave or Garrett Wilson or Jameson Williams, Drake London, getting any of those guys. They're number ones.
I'm telling you what he's going to do.
They need an X.
I'm telling them what they're going to do is they're going to take John Mechie, who tore his ACL, Alabama. No,
Jameson Crowder, they signed, slot guy.
Jameson Crowder. Exactly. Slot guy. And a lot of people in New England were like, he would have looked great in the slot. But I just think the value of the consistency from college to the pros and what that's translated for the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow,
yeah.
Jamar Chase. I would not be surprised to see the Patriots pick up John Mechie. Yeah, he tore his ACL. He was out. That was Mac Jones's favorite receiver. I would see him picking up maybe the second or the third round. But drafting a number one receiver, I mean, you still have N'Keal Harry on your roster. That's one of the biggest gaps. Like... No, he's not worth anything. No, he's worth a sixth round pick.
He can block.
He can block. That's it. Like,
that's a really valuable quality.
I know it's taken him 3 years to block properly. Like, I don't.
It's valuable if you could do other things.
This team right now is just. I really have very, very little. Especially with they're playing the NFC. The AFC East is playing the NFC North this year. I honestly, I'm looking at that schedule home and away. I know we haven't gotten out to the schedules. I'm thinking the Patriots are going 6-11 and Bills on the chopping block. And I hate to say that because, I'm the biggest Bill supporter of all time, but he doesn't put this together. There's been signs that Robert Kraft has basically gone to the owners' meetings. He has signed with the fans. He said, we haven't won a playoff game in 3 years. That bothers me, blah, blah, blah. First of all, I think that Jonathan should start to take over. Robert's in the prime age of 80. I don't think that he really has so much of a handle. I think he's playing to the crowd and playing to the fans because he has to. He wants the renewals for season tickets and all of that. But I think part of him in the back of his mind, and although I can't confirm any of this, but I think he's kind of looking at Bill and being like, man, I'm watching the clock here. If you can't figure this shit out. And if we have another dumpy losey season, it's, believe it or not, like he's gonna be in the hot seat, as crazy as that sounds, but it really doesn't make any more sense than that, I guess. I don't know.
As weird as it sounds to say, I think the Patriots season, as much as anything, relies on how well the Dolphins play and how well the Jets play.
Well, that goes with every season. Like they should be watching the Jets and Dolphins and being like, let's compete. Not sitting back and watching and picking up other people's.
I mean, they competed last year, week 13 Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
Windy day in Buffalo.
That was horrible. That game was terrible.
That was the game that I brought I wore my Patriots like $150. 47 brand throwback, like a hockey sweater. I wore it to the Heat game to work. And I was so embarrassed. I literally could not leave my seat. I was walking in. I was like, Patriots. Yes. And then I didn't even want to go to the bathroom because I was that embarrassed. I was like, I don't want people seeing that I'm wearing this god awful sweatshirt.
I don't know though. I feel like the Patriots, like we're at the point now, right, where the division's flipped to somebody else. Buffalo, you don't have anybody. Your quarterback's not as good as Josh Allen, and like the rest of your roster isn't as good. So what are you going to do now? I would, as crazy as you say, it's crazy, but like at some point every coach gets tuned out, right? Like every coach gets tuned out at a certain point. Every system gets tuned out at a certain point. Like at some point you just got to make a change and just start the whole thing over. You're better off in the NFL just blowing it up and going 1-15 for 3 years than you are just meddling around 6-11 or whatever, 7-10. I don't know what is the new game. You're better, like, because if you're in the middle, you got nothing.
Really. Yeah. Well, also, Bill Belichick turns 70 in a few weeks. Right. Can you see him coaching into his mid-80s? I don't want that.
And also, like,
I don't want that. I don't
also,
want
it's,
that.
Also, it's pretty clear he's not trying to keep up with the rest of the league. Like, you know, like Brady.
He had his year. He had his year to show everyone that he was going to come out gunslinging. I think Matthew Judon was one of the best free agent signings of the league last year. He is phenomenal. But, I mean, this little social media bit where he's trying to recruit people, including Bobby Wagner, he was hot on his trail to join the New England Patriots, and the rich get richer. We had to talk about this, Steve. Bobby Wagner to the Los Angeles Rams. I just give up. Much like there is no salary cap in baseball and the entire Dodgers roster is bullshit, I am calling BS on the salary cap in the NFL. Their identity for the league has completely turned over into the dramatic National Basketball Association. They understand that their value is better. They can get more money if they demand out. And you know what started all of this? Was Bill O'Brien kicking DeAndre Hopkins to the curb, trading him for a second round pick. That changed the league forever. Truly. Because now it has just changed the entire face of the league. It is no longer held with the same integrity of turnover, and there's no parity, or there is parity. Like, scratch that. We're walking into a completely new era of football. And it's just, when I saw that news, I was like, well, shit.
Think about what's happening now. Like, guys under contract are walking into offices and saying, I don't want to play for you. I want to play for this team. So send me there. That's what's happening.
Well, it's not only that, Steve.
Or release me.
Who was the kid from the Cowboys that basically had a verbal deal, and then he was like, "Yeah, no, I'm lying. I'm walking away." He had a verbal deal with the Dallas Cowboys. Walked, told his agent, said, you know what? Fuck Jerry Jones. Fuck this shit." The Cowboys already had a social media post. They put it out. They said, "Congratulations."
Was that Randy Gregory?
Randy Gregory, yes, correct. You can tell, I'm like, the names at the top of my head. That is not my strong point.
Listen, I told you,
signed a massive deal with the Denver Broncos.
Listen, I told you already. I'm over the NFL offseason. Like, I'm over it. I'm sick of hearing about it. Like you're saying, the players just doing whatever they want. It's fine. Like, they see their value, but like, I'm done. Every day something else breaks. Yeah. Some guy goes here. This happens.
The last thing I'll say about the NFL offseason is I don't think things are done in Seattle quite yet. Whispers of like DK Metcalf. I know that like those two wide receivers, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, like someone was like, someone tweeted at Tyler Lockett and they were like, oh, come here. And he was like, yeah, that's not, if he leaves, I leave. So
they talk about DK to the Jets for the 10th pick.
I would throw my towel in. I would be the most angry, contrarian human of all time during football. I guess this podcast would be, first viewing of the week, because if DK Metcalf came within the division, I would just completely fucking disown my team. I would demand that Bill go do something outrageous. Trade Mack away. Like, I don't, like, don't you just, were you trying to like make me explode in the middle of my show? No. DK Metcalf to the Jets?
I don't understand why teams Seattle don't just try and be bad. Well, it's not in Pete Carroll's nature to be bad, but like, next year's quarterback class is going to be unbelievable. Like, why?
Well, that's
just for a year.
Yeah, well, they're infatuated with Drew Locke. God only knows.
He's got a big arm.
What? He stinks.
Small hands, big arm.
Yeah, small hands, big arm, big feet, big socks. You know what that means.
Love it.
I've been saying, Courtney's been, Will, Courtney's asked me like quite a few times on this show about like what I want the Giants to do. And I keep saying, I want them to stink and get a quarterback next year. Like, yeah, I want them to do nothing. I want them to just like stink, be terrible, and then go get a quarterback. That's
stink
all. That's
CJ
all I
Stroud.
Want.
That's it. That's the thing.
That's the game. That should be the game plan.
Any team that's in like the bottom, I'd say bottom quarter of the league should just be at every Ohio State game watching CJ Stroud.
That's
throw
it.
The prettiest spiral in football.
He is very good. He really is.
He started off the season so bad, and I was on the. They had the number one recruit in the history of football, Quinn Ewers, on their bench, and I was all for putting him in after they lost to Oregon. But, nah, CJ Stroud's the truth. He's going to be very good. I'm still – the jury's still out on Justin Fields. But as far as Ohio State quarterbacks go, I think CJ Stroud's probably the only, like, one that's going to be legit.
Yeah, well, the thing that's going against Justin Fields is that their organization is giving him zero help. So,
that's a hellfire.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that Josh McDaniels missed out on was pairing up with Justin Fields. I think that could have been a match made in heaven if he decided to go to the Chicago Bears. But I understand why he went to Las Vegas. Listen, his wife is from Cleveland, Ohio. And if it's like, if you're not going to one city in the Midwest, you got to go all the way west. So speaking of all the way west, all the way east. Terrible transition. Courtney, you're not killing it today.
Yeah, I got to pull myself off the screen.
opening day for baseball is Thursdays. We got Red Sox and Yankees. The Masters weekend is coming up.
Big weekend.
Tiger Woods. So he is the most bet player to win the Masters, even though he's going to do his walkthrough and be a game time decision after that catastrophic. I mean, the dude, we could have been sitting here talking Kobe 2.0. You don't understand. With that accident, he basically almost lost his leg, and now he is back. He is in Augusta. He is the most bet player to win the Masters at +4,000. Why is that number not gone down?
Well, it did start at +6,600.
Okay,
but he's not going to win. Like, yeah, that would be insane. He's not going to win. That would be nuts. I can't. The story is, it would be a great story, right? Like, but
I'm done with Swan Song. Don't you feel like you're like epic fairy tale storied out between Jay and Brady and like,
yeah, there's no, like, it started with Derek Jeter and his farewell tour. Don't get me started on that. And now where we've worked up to all this now, with Coach K, Brady, yes, that was a shot at you Yankee fans.
Yes.
You know who you are. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm over it. I'm done with this. Why can't anybody just retire in peace? Like, just go.
I don't know. I'm sitting here wondering if Roger Federer is ever going to play tennis again. But jumping back to the Masters real quick.
Sorry, my bad.
Masters real quick.
I bet him not to make the cut.
Okay. All right. I'll take that.
That's actually a really good bet. That's where I bet too. Tiger did not make the cut. That's the only. It's really good value.
What's really, the value?
It's plus. It's, what is it?
I got it at like, what was it? Let me check.
+300.
Yeah, it's around that. Yeah.
All right. Mark it down. You know who I'm gonna have? My buddy Nate Dogg. He's big. He places golf bets. He usually sends me his card for the weekend. But now that you can bet golf on Better Edge. Go sign up. I'm gonna drop my code. Not 1-800-GAMBLER. Oh, he took that off.
There's your code, Courtney.
There's my code, $20. Courtney. Get $20 at sign up. There's a lot of really exciting stuff that's going on with Better Edge, and you know, once a month we always have James from Better Edge coming on to, you know, run some fun stuff and do some things. And he was talking about some of the new things that they have, including Tinder for sports betting. Take a listen.
It is that time of year that we have James from Better Edge, unanimously everyone's favorite character from the Better Edge crew up there in Minneapolis, St. Paul. James, how you doing? You come on the show, you give us the details about what's going on with the Better Edge app, all of these amazing new features that you guys have laid out, preparing to roll out and March Madness for you and the team. From a volume perspective, you guys have done very well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think everyone looks at the Super Bowl as sort of this head honcho of sports betting. And for us, March Madness has been way better. I think it kind of boils down to the fact that, sure, you can bet on, you know, the coin flip and the national anthem, but it's all still really one game. The awesome thing with March Madness is just there's so much going on and everyone sort of knows that you put money on it because other than that, you may have a bracket, but you're not really invested in 95% of the teams playing. So adding money to those games gets you more invested in the game. And that's what we've seen on our platform. I mean, I think we're trending to do over 10x last year's volume for March Madness as we get through the Final Four in the championship game on Monday. So volume wise, it's been awesome. Sign up wise, it's been awesome. And we were able to do some fun things like give away a trip to the Final Four to a winner of one of our competitions. And so they're headed to the game probably tomorrow. And so, yeah, it was definitely a fun time to be on the Better Edge platform.
There was some really big payouts that I saw. There was a payout for the St. Peter's money line that hit over $3,100. How fun was that to see one of the best underdog Cinderella stories come to fruition, especially on the platform like this? I mean, you know, a lot of people also see, you know, parlays and this on other sports betting platforms. But I mean, to see that number and they see that kind of volume, you just have to think on the other side of things. That means that someone laid out like $4,000 for Purdue to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's great about that too is if you just looked at some of those big winners on St. Peter's, like I think at a book you might have gotten them at like +400, but you're getting them at +6, +550 on our platform, because when you get those games where there's a really heavy favorite, your payout can be a lot greater on a platform that doesn't charge a VIG, because those VIGs are pretty big on those types of games. And so, yeah, it was really fun to see those. And Tyler does a good job of kind of calling those out now as we get in that data, which has been fun to see. There have been some really big winners. I think we've seen a few people taking home almost 30,000 throughout the weekend. So it's been fun to see the volume.
30,000?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so that's incredible. Can you tell me a little bit about this bet match? It's a Tinder for sports betting. I mean, am I gonna find my husband on the app? What's going on here?
You could, yeah, you absolutely could. So we're sort of trying to rethink the whole social component of Better Edge. And so we're gonna be introducing this sort of discover theme, which more content, more bets, more other users on the platform are going to sort of be pushed to you. So it'll be easier to connect with people, easier to find the content you want, and it'll all sort of be right there at your fingertips. One of the things we're doing in there, right now we're calling it Bet Match, and we kind of joke internally, it's sort of the Tinder for sports betting. And what it does is, based on your filters or your location, if you opt in, we will basically take other people's orders and they show up to you similar to a dating app interface where you can swipe right to accept the bet, you can swipe left to decline it. And what this allows us to do as a platform is we then know, like, as a marketplace, it's really tough to know when people are choosing not to bet. We know when people are betting, but when you choose not to bet, we don't really know. And so this gives us the opportunity to find where people are poorly pricing bets, all of those things that we can utilize to make the platform better for our users. And from you as a user, you get to basically swipe left and swipe right on bets, which is kind of a fun thing to do. And we'll show you who you're matching with rather than it being anonymous. If you choose to opt in, you'll be able to see who you're swiping left, swiping right on. And then you can follow the people. And then for people like you, Courtney, you'll have a dedicated link. So let's say you love Villanova because you think KU is way overrated. You put out your order on Villanova, you'll have a link that goes directly to your bet match. So people can just go there and take the other side of you. And then they know they're betting against you, not necessarily someone else.
Okay. So we've taken Fade Fallon to the next level.
To the next level.
Like we're living in 3022 at this point. James, could you see something, for example, in the upcoming baseball season, if the Red Sox are facing the Blue Jays in a 3-game set, could you see something like groups of fan bases kind of sticking together? I know you have a large Minnesota Wild contingent on the platform. Could you see certain communities having their own page or getting together and kind of being in that same group? Is this kind of similar to what you guys are eyeing?
Absolutely. So we are, and you've actually led into something that I haven't even talked about. We are going to be introducing groups functionality. So you have your follower base, so you can follow people, people can follow you. That's sort of one filter, but that's not necessarily going to give you all of the bells and whistles that you might do when you're betting within a group. So your group could be a group of friends that you do stuff with. And so whenever you create a competition, maybe things just get sent out to your group. And all of your leaderboards and everything gets tracked within that group. And it could be people you know. We could also have a group of like Boston Red Sox fans. So anyone who's following or favorited the Boston Red Sox, that can be your sort of filter group. So from a bet match standpoint, you can say only show me orders from Boston Red Sox fans. And so that is kind of, you know, where the vision of groups is. I would say that's probably going to be introduced here Q2 of this year. So hopefully mid baseball season.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thanks, Courtney.
There it is. Bet match. Putting the bets literally right in your face. And I think that the idea for this to be integrated in the middle of baseball season is going to be perfect. Steve, when you and I are placing our bets in the middle of the season, and I don't know, for example, yeah, the Red Sox are facing the Mets, and I need to have a Mets fan take the other side of some of my Red Sox bets. I mean, that's just going to work seamlessly. Let's build a little community together. It's going to be perfect.
That's going to work seamlessly, except that I bet against the Mets a lot.
Okay. All right.
But there are,
you do Nerfy first five. Like let's
get, I do a lot.
Juicy preview for baseball season.
So I do. All right. So I do, depends on the Nerfies. I like to dabble with Nerfies. Like you could go on some good Nerfy runs, but you know, I like to dabble with Nerfies. I'm a big like first.
Nerfy means no run first inning.
No run first.
Oh yeah. 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 I was going to say, that's the only thing that I, my only contribution to baseball betting.
Well,
look, I like the first
pitchers
five.
Are way ahead.
I really like the first five.
First five's a good one.
First five is great.
First three,
especially when you're you know, you're basically just betting for the pitcher.
Right. And I don't like to bet. So I rarely do I bet favorites when I'm playing when I'm doing baseball, because look, you got to look at it like this. For the most part, I might be a couple games off here because there are some really terrible teams, but for the most part, every team wins 60 and every team loses 60. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be spots where a heavy underdog beats a really good team. So that's where the plus 1.5's big, very similar to hockey. And like, look, I'm already looking at, like, I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at Friday. It's in Colorado. I don't know what the line's not out yet, but opening day in Colorado, everybody's going to be on the Dodgers. Rockies always play good at home. Their lineup is better this year.
Chris Bryant too.
Chris Bryant's
be hitting bombs.
Hammer that over. I don't know what it's at, but also I kind of like the Rockies. I would take Rockies probably first five there. I'm probably going to take them on the money line. I have to see more as I go, but then even like another situation on Friday, I know the pitching matchup already. Alcantara for the Marlins is pitching against Logan Webb for the Giants. That's a great spot for a first five under there. That like stuff like that, like I'm looking ahead to, or even that's a great spot for the Marlins, like first five money line too. Just there's a lot of stuff I look at here, guys.
Excuse me, guys.
You writing it all down? You getting
first five money line?
This is documented now. So if none of this happens, I'm going to get shredded on.
No, but you know what though? I mean, you know, now that we got Willie G, we have more social media posts at our disposal.
Yeah, Willie, and I'm Teflon. I'll take the heat for you.
What do you? I like some futures too, for the upcoming season.
I think the Blue Jays are winning the East. I like the Mariners under 85 wins.
Oh, you don't like the Mariners, huh?
No. Okay. Under 85 wins.
So I was looking at like team win totals. There's just not enough value there for me to lock up money for 6 months because it's all -110. So there's not like enough value there for me to lock up.
Do those lines move throughout the season? Do you know?
Or just stays? I haven't seen.
I don't think so either. And I was always what I was wondering when I'm, you know, writing my articles and stuff before the NFL season. It's like, you know, five things to bet before the season starts, and it's like those over under win totals are pretty basic. It's like,
yeah.
It's
the division winners.
It's -110, -110 on both sides.
Right. Like the division odds will move. That's why, if you want to take the Blue Jays to win the AL East, you might be able to wait like a week. Maybe they go off to a slow start and then their odds go from like, it's like +225 now or something like that. Maybe they go to like +350 and you nab them there, you know, like, cause those lines move. I don't know if you want to hear it, but I got like two like really juicy futures that I'm gonna probably sprinkle.
Okay. We always want to hear it.
Yeah.
So all right. People say I'm crazy, but first of all, this is coming from a guy, my claim to fame last year. I got Ohtani at +3,500 on March 16th to win AL MVP last year. So I know a little bit.
Okay.
Ooh. So I like Bo Bichette +3,000. Now I know that Vladdy's on his team. However, these voters, they take a lot of the analytical stats like WAR into the consideration. Bo Bichette plays really good.
Bo Bichette's a stud. No, I like that pick because Vladdy's gonna hit. I mean, Vladdy's gonna get his, but I think the defense contributed. He's gonna steal some bases.
He's gonna steal some bases. He's gonna have a high WAR. He's gonna probably be a catalyst for the team that wins the AL East. There's my dog in the background agreeing with me.
Yeah, you agree.
And then I like Jose Berrios for AL Cy Young. He's going to be the ace of the Blue Jays this year.
And, so you totally are riding on the shoulders of my Blue Jays AL East future.
Well, the thing is, you got to think about it, right? He's going to pitch. So there's all the, like, Canada still has the vaccine restrictions too. He's going to pitch half his games at home. And when the Yankees come, they're not going to have Judge. They're not going to have Stanton.
Yeah.
They're not going to have all the guys that don't have the vaccine. He's going to be facing lineups without some really good guys at home. That plays into his advantage. So yeah. I'm just looking at stuff like that. And I like Hunter Green to win NL Rookie of the Year at +650. He throws like 105 miles an hour. He's an absolute stud. And the Reds did something I never thought I would see in this era. They said, forget service time manipulation. He's the best pitcher on our team, or he's pitching. He's starting the season with us. So +650. Let's go. That's what I got. That's all I got, guys. Sorry. I get really backed up about baseball.
Yeah, no, I think he's, are you writing with a Sharpie?
Am I writing with a Sharpie? Yeah. No, I'm just taking notes.
I heard like a really big like marker, like marked out Bulba shit.
Yeah. I like that pick. That's a really heady play.
Oh my god!
If he ends up starting the season like below the Mendoza line, though, you absolutely mushed him.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Plus, I overpaid for him in my auction fantasy league too. But we'll see.
I like the Twins in the AL Central. That's kind of my only.
Yes, that's where the value is.
Because Correa went to the Twins.
They hit bombs.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Willie.
That's
go
all.
Ahead,
that's just it. They hit bombs and they have good enough pitching.
Look, things are like I said. Like the White Sox are -210 to win the division. There's no value there. Twins +500. Now yeah. Lance Lynn's gonna miss 4 weeks, right? So we're a couple injuries to the White Sox, couple injuries, and that changes the division. So just saying, Willie G is on it, baby.
Not just that, but Chicago plays in a very big ballpark, and they're so reliant on the home run. Like every team is reliant on the home run now. But I just think the White Sox are terrible value. The Twins are fantastic value, just given what they've done in the offseason. And what I saw from them in the past couple of years, I think they're building something. Sano's a freak, and they've just got a good lineup 1-9.
And Joe Ryan, generic creative player, is the ace. He's gonna be a stud. Be a stud this year. So like, you want to sprinkle a little on him for AL Cy Young? Go right ahead. I don't know what those are.
The Red Sox don't know who's the closer or who's their fifth pitcher in the rotation.
Nice. It's all right. You got Eovaldi starting opening day.
I know. You know what? You know what's crazy? I think Pedro Martinez and Nathan Eovaldi sat down, and I think Pedro Martinez sat down with Rob Bradford, who's one of the podcasters at AEI, my old station, and he said, "Would you like to join the show?" And Bradford said he didn't know whether or not he meant it towards him or to talk to Nathan Eovaldi, but he said it would be my honor to sit down with Nathan Eovaldi. He sees a lot of himself in that young pitcher. So but yeah, you lost Rodriguez. Who was the other pitcher?
They lost Rodriguez. Chris Sale.
I'd argue that's addition.
Chris Sale is hurt again. Maybe this is just my karma in this lifetime of sports.
I don't think the Red Sox were going to pay Rodriguez what he got. I don't know why the Tigers gave him that contract.
No, not a chance. Not a chance. I mean, you do have to remember who Chaim Bloom is. Trevor Story, I think he's going to be a stud.
He's gonna hit the monster a lot.
Yeah,
he's gonna hit the monster a lot.
Guys, a deadpool hitter. Yes, yeah. It's a great place for him. It's like unbelievable.
Perfect place for us to put the bookmark in. This was a great show, guys. Willie G, thanks for producing. You will see this up on Bad Signal Pod YouTube page.
Yeah, go like and subscribe.
Go like and subscribe.
There's going to be a whole bunch of new content up on there too.
Yeah, I slipped Willie G some betting money. His salary of $75. No, I'm kidding.
I gotta talk to Greg. By the way, I think I won the sign up.
He won the sign up. Steve won the sign up. But if you like me more, you would sign up for Courtney. No, we did. Steve did win the sign up contest. I came in fifth place in the Sweet 16. It was a fifth place tied. We were all in second place, and kicking myself that I didn't win that contest. And then for this past weekend, the final four, I was in second, and then I dropped to ninth because I lost that UNC game. Although I did put money on the money line. I had Duke in the pool. So
I told you what to take. You didn't.
Not
you didn't
listen, I no. not. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not saying. Taking any more. I'm not taking any more of your hockey bets.
No, not that. I don't know. Wait, before we get out of here, do we have to make a pick for tonight?
Oh, we have to make picks for tonight. Jeez, I'm already thinking ahead. I'm already ripping my nails off. I'm like, I gotta go to the nail salon. My bet is I'm going to take UNC just the points, and I'm going to take the under. If I could take the first half under, I would take that versus the team total.
I'm saying if there's a live tidbit here, if the game total at halftime is within ten points of the original total, take the over in the second half.
Good to know.
Sorry, I cut you off. I just had to get that.
No, that's totally fine. Yeah, I mean, I think even though I did say I think Kansas is one of the over. First of all, we got to talk about this like just briefly. How poorly the seedings are. Like UNC was steamrolling. They should not be an eighth seed. There were a lot of other miscues from the selection committee on the seedings that kind of were questionable, and hopefully they will get them fixed before next year's March Madness.
Yes. Yeah. Alabama is a six seed. They were 19 and 14.
Yeah. All right. Steve, what do you, So you got the same thing you're taking. Well, I mean, so, all right. So you got a Bajie.
I'm sprinkling on McCormick MOP also because plus 1100 is there's a shot. So I'm going to take those two because I think there's a chance at that. I'm going to take Abaji. I'm going to take McCormick. I think I got to do it. I think I have to do UNC with the points. I think UNC with the points. I mean, it's going to change live. It's going to change. If I see Baycott early, hobbling around,
they're going to go right after him.
That's why it's tough.
Like they're going to he's going to be there. So I mean, if UNC is smart, then you know they would start working. Pick and roll perimeter. Just drive it down to the hoop and kick it out for jump shots. Work the perimeter. Willie. That's the only way that they can Willie, actually.
Alternate line, 5.5 Kansas. I think Kansas is going to fucking destroy them.
All right.
And other than that, I have a 4-leg hockey parlay that's definitely going to hit. Okay. LA Kings +1.5 against Calgary. Toronto Maple Leafs +1.5 against Tampa. Bruins money line against Columbus, and St. Louis money line at home against Arizona.
Text me that when we're done.
Do you know how long it's going to take me to go through an hour and 10 minutes of this to get everyone's picks?
Oh, don't worry about it. I'm already on top of that. What do you think? Why do you think I was writing shit down?
Willie G, you're hired. John, you're fired. See you next time, guys.